Welcome to the homily studio for the first Sunday of Advent, which is also the first Sunday of the church year. Who do we have in the conversation today?
Kia ora koutou, ko Kushla O'Connor, tōku ingoa. My name is Kushla O'Connor. I'm a religious education advisor and a part-time lecturer for the Catholic Theological College. I work in the Catholic Diocese of Christchurch. I'm a mum, a wife, and I'm a grandmother of two beautiful grandsons.
Kia ora tātou, I'm Jenny Dawson. I'm an Anglican priest and spiritual director, and I'm currently living in Pukarua Bay in Porirua, but about to move to Christchurch.
It'll be great to have you here, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Looking forward to it. Great. Catherine, you're there too. Are you moving to Christchurch?
No, but it seems it's the place to be at the moment. Kia ora, tato. Catherine Gibbs here. I'm living in Lower Hutt. And can I start by wishing everybody a Happy New Year, given we're talking about the beginning of a new liturgical year. So Happy New Year, Jenny and Kushla and John and anybody listening.
Anybody listening? Hopefully there's somebody listening.
Well, we'll say everybody listening.
Well, I often think after our conversations here that if nobody's listening and it's just the two or three of us in this conversation, it's enough for me because always the conversations are inspiring. But we do know that there are people listening in a whole variety of places. I hear from people across Asia, especially the Philippines, in the United States, Australia, and even in parts of Europe, Italy. I heard from someone recently who listens to the homily studio in Italy. Maybe they use Google Translate. I'm not sure quite how they do it. But wherever you are listening, we, for these 30 minutes, are united in prayer and in openness to hearing God speak to us through these scriptures. And as we pray, we're not calling on a God to come and be with us. We're waking up to the fact that every moment of every day and every night and every difficulty and every joy and every hope, grief and anxiety, God in Jesus is with us. So we're waking up to the fact of the presence of a God who in Jesus is incarnate, not just 2,000 years ago, but today. And we're aware of the needs of all of those who are listening, the concerns that you have as we begin this new church year, for yourselves, for those you love. Remembering especially those who are struggling most, perhaps even secret struggles in our own communities and further afield. And we pray, let's use the entrance antiphon, which is the very first words that you might hear if you are at the liturgy this weekend. To you I lift up my soul, O my God. In you I have trusted, let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies exult over me, and let none who hope in you be put to shame. To you, O God, we lift our souls. Amen.
Amen.
Who's ready to start the conversation this morning? Usually we all do our preparation, of course, of these scriptures to be part in these conversations, but the conversation just rolls in a wonderful and inspiring way. So,
well, I'll start. I'll go. So, when I was in the classroom, I used to love teaching the young people about the season of Advent. It was one of my favourite times of the year, you know. And I read somewhere years ago that Pope Francis said that Advent should be a time to awaken sleepy Christians. Sometimes I can be one of those sleepy Christians. And what does it say? Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy. And then it goes on to say, be vigilant at all times. And I just think that it used to be great teaching the young people that to make sure our hearts were not drowsy, and that we prepared to meet Jesus every single day in this, you know, all the time, but especially just that Jesus is, it doesn't just come at Christmas and then disappear, that he's with us every single day, and that we should reflect that in how we love and how we forgive and how we are compassionate towards others. So that's what jumped out at me when I first read the readings. Those, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy and be vigilant at all times. You know, he's telling us to stand up, to watch and to pray and be awake.
Great start, Kushla.
Thank you, Kushla. That's lovely because it's my favourite season of the year. And I always feel sorry for people, particularly those in secondary schools, who are having to push into Christmas a bit quickly for the DRSs and the chaplains and people like that, and maybe don't always get as much as we can out of Advent. It is the most rich season, and this gospel reading, particularly this week, is amazing. I've been thinking all morning about in the meantime. The reading seems to be like in the meantime, and we are living in a meantime, but we focus on in the seen time, because we've all seen something of Jesus, and we all choose at this time of the year to focus on Jesus exactly as you've invited us to, and maybe we can hold on to the glimpses of glory that we've seen that sometimes get overwhelmed and all the stuff that's going on. It's great to start with that psalm too, because they said we could be focusing on anxious efficiency or humble availability to God. And I just want to stay with my brilliant idea about in the seen time. What have I seen of Jesus?
Like,
and what do I choose to see every day?
Wow.
That's really nice.
Thank
too,
you.
Jenny. Well, following on from that, probably when I look back at all the Advents that I've lived through, the artifact or resource that sticks closely in my mind is the Advent calendar. And that's a beautiful little resource that is available online. I went and had a look, and there's some interactive Advent calendars, but be warned, there's a lot that are commercial and just show reindeer and snowflakes. But the ones that are linked to the nativity story remind us every day you open the little door, you see a symbol or a sign that is connected to the story of Emmanuel coming to earth to live with us. And I find it a beautiful resource because it encourages us to notice signs and symbols along the way every day. And every day you open the little door and you're filled with a sense of hopefulness because you're getting closer and closer to the birth of the Christ child yet again. And also it's got a focus where you get the little symbols that make you think a little bit more about the meanings of what we see, a purple candle, a pink candle, an Advent wreath and stuff. And the simplicity of the symbols of Christmas, like the shepherds and the donkey and the stable. And I think those things that are part of that resource can go quite deeply into our memory of what the real meaning of the coming of the Christ child is all about. I love that resource. So, Jenny, yes, it's the seeing time, seeing time of looking at what's happening around us. And there's a whole lot of changes that are going on at the moment. Even when we go, if we go to go to church in Advent, we'll notice a whole lot of different things. You know, there could be a Jesse tree, there could be a wreath, there could be the purple, and so on.
I like both the seeing and the and what you said, Catherine, about taking it back to the true meaning. The other day, our little grandson, he's 2.5, and he's a bright little button. Of course, I'm going to say that, but he is. but he said, I gave him just a little Christmas decoration. It wasn't anything to do with the birth of Jesus, but we talked about that. You know, we'd been talking about it. I took him back home, and his dad and mum said to him, "What's that?" And he said, "It's what it was, a little Father Christmas, in actual fact." And he said, "But it's Jesus's birthday." And I thought, "Yay, go Lolly." You know, you've got to start young. And he retains a whole lot. And I think it's really important that we keep in our schools and in our parishes and in our homes reminding everyone to that we're in a time of faithful waiting for this beautiful event, and just embrace it and talk the Jesus talk all the time with everyone.
I think we very often reduce the meaning of the season to not just the secular things, but we reduce the meaning of the season, the reason for the season, to being the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Now, that sounds like we're right on the mark. This is what it is, the birth of Jesus. But the part of the incarnation that we miss is that is the birth of Jesus today, is the presence of Jesus today, that in the nitty-gritty, in the reality, in the routine, in the mundane today. And many Christians, I think, follow a Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago. And this is missing the point. And I sometimes think, you fall into the trap of thinking, wouldn't it have been great to live 2,000 years ago and to hear Jesus and to see Jesus and to encounter, to meet, to experience Jesus? And even in saying that, I'm missing the whole point. And in fact, Jesus is more present and alive today than he was with the disciples before the death and resurrection. You see, the birth of God into humanity in the form of a child, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, moved to a whole new stage with the resurrection, which we're also celebrating at Christmas. Like every day is a celebration of the fact that God in Jesus Christ is alive and present today in 2024. And that's the part we miss. So we often follow Jesus like the wise teacher who said great things and did great miracles 2,000 years ago. But what about today? And in fact, I'm not very interested. I just said I'm not very interesting. I try to be interesting, but I'm not very interested in following a Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago. And in fact, I don't really care that much if Jesus Christ is not alive and present today. Like it's great for them back then. And I think Advent really is a time of preparing for this fundamental shift in our understanding of what it is to be the disciples of Jesus Christ today. I don't know if that makes sense. Did I make sense in the midst of all of that?
Yes.
Yeah, it
And the interesting thing is, I think actually most people who saw Jesus 2,000 years ago missed the point completely.
does.
They were no more interested than most people would be today. So it doesn't wouldn't do us any good to fantasize about being in that time. But we are between the Jesus of that time, with the Jesus who was born then, and the Jesus who is coming back, whatever on earth that means. And Jesus comes in so many ways. And I think that lovely thing about the sacrament of the present moment, Jean-Pierre de Caussade, every moment Jesus is there. And every moment's a sacrament in Jesus. And I love what we're reading this Sunday for exactly that reason. By the way, did you notice that Advent is designed, the gospel reading is designed for the Southern Hemisphere? In the Northern Hemisphere, fig trees are not budding. Things are bursting out all over here. And when we see the fig tree just outside this window with its bud coming, we know the time is near. So Advent is about the Southern Hemisphere. I'm so excited about that.
Jenny, that's great to hear that because so often we hear that the liturgical seasons are designed for the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah. I know that some people I know look for the right kind of flowers for Advent. So the lavender coming out, my fuchsias that are purple, all of those things, and some of the natives that have purple flowers. It's very special to look to what we've got here around us. The pohutukawas are just coming out, but that's Christmas. That's not Advent. But lots to do in the Southern Hemisphere to draw us home.
Jenny, who did you mention, Jean-Pierre?
Cossard.
Can you send me a link and I'll attach it to this podcast?
Yes.
And also, before I forget, Catherine, a few moments ago you mentioned an advent calendar. Can you send us a link to an advent calendar that you think is a really good one?
Well, the best one is the one that says create your own.
Great. Can you send us
Oh,
a link?
I'll send you a
Send.
link to that one because then it becomes real, doesn't it? You
Oh,
create your
good. I
own.
look forward to that. Be great.
Just that word presence, of course, it had me smiling because I think for me, the most important thing about this preparation time is becoming truly present to others, presence with a C, rather than thinking about what present I might like, present with a T, and or what presents I'm going to give to people. If we can stay focused, as suggested in the gospel, stay focused, stay vigilant, be ready for whatever is going to come. The way we can live the Christ dwelling in us is to share that dwelling with others through our presence for the sea.
Indeed. Good distinction, Catherine. You know, I
Yes.
often think of this first Sunday of Advent as being the Sunday where Joseph came in to see Mary, who was nearing full term of a pregnancy, and said, Darling, how are you feeling?
Yes.
Oh, not too bad. Like, only 3 or 4 more weeks. He says, "Well, do you feel like making a bit of a journey? What? Are you crazy? No, well, actually, there's the census. We actually have to go to Bethlehem." Can you imagine the scene in the house that day? Like, everything is going wrong. Like, Mary's just beginning to think. Like, I cannot imagine what it's like to be nearing the birth of the child and the discomfort involved. I cannot imagine what that's like. But that's where Mary was. And in their relationship, they were having to deal with this huge problem. I'm sure Mary said, "I'm not going, you go. You're the man, your family, you go." But that's not what happened. And so what we have injected right into this 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks before Christmas, is this relationship struggle. Now, you don't need my imagination or any information for you to imagine what was going on. I just can't imagine. But I think that's important. Like every you'd think that God could have planned the birth of the Savior in a much more way. And of course, things, it's a whole litany over the next month or 2 or 3 of things going wrong. Like they couldn't find room. Joseph hadn't booked. Then the birth of the child. Then you get strange men visiting, bringing gifts that are completely useless at this stage. And then just when they're beginning to think we can go back home, well, actually, we got another trip. This time we're going to Egypt. Well, everything goes wrong. And the message for us here, I think, is that the place where God is wanting and ready and eager to enter our lives is the very places where we're not looking because we're looking at the success and the achievement and everything going right. And the incarnation's happening in the mess, in the relationship struggles, in the things that we hadn't planned suddenly popping up and needing to be dealt with right at the most inconvenient moments. And that is God's preferred place of entering our lives, but it's the place where we're not ready. We're not expecting to encounter the divine. A wonderful message.
Yeah,
It is, and all those problems that they were faced with as a couple, they didn't focus on the problem, did they? They were focusing on the solution.
Say more there, Kushner.
They were focusing, they weren't focused on the problem, Joseph and Mary. They were focused on the solution, which was just living in it, in the moment, trusting in God.
Okay, well, I'm going to wonder here if that's a pious reading of it.
Probably.
I imagine them wrestling with the problem. But of course, when you read the lives of holy people, you never read the messes and the dysfunction and the arguments.
No, but you can still see the messes. You could, I mean, because if I was Mary, I would have said, "Oh, don't be so ridiculous. I'm not going now." And there would have been I think there would have been a few words had, probably. Well, because Mary was a really strong woman, wasn't she? A strong and faithful woman. But I think she probably would have stood her ground for a little bit and then said, well, okay, this is the problem, this is the solution, and off they go. And it's one
Well,
thing after the other.
they had already encountered massive problems
Yeah.
before the decision
Yeah.
to head off
Yeah.
to bed for them.
That's exactly
And
right.
so they were already, I think they were already people who were practiced in hope and
Yes.
like just stay hopeful that this is going to be all right. God is faithful. And if we believe in a faithful God and a God who loves us, we can do this. And I think that that's a strong message that comes through Advent this year is remaining hopeful, even though like things around us at the moment are looking a bit bleak at times and a bit dark. We're living in a very, very changing time, a changing era for the church, for politics, the geopolitics of Earth are changing from Europe to global South and so on, and climate change, you name it. But I'm reminded of a beautiful quote from someone about what's the difference between an optimist and a hopeful person. And a hope an optimist looks at a glass half full, but a hopeful person asks, how can I make the glass full? And I think that that is a beautiful message of how a Christian is being asked to live too.
And it's going to be great for us, isn't it? Moving through this Advent season and into next year, where we're going to have the Jubilee year, which is focusing on hope
Yes.
and us being pilgrims of hope,
Hope. Yes.
and how we can do that in little ways, probably. Or bigger ways, I don't know, but just just was working on some things for the schools for next year, and just trying to get across that understanding that being hope-filled is what God calls us to be.
Jenny, you were going to come in a second ago. You had something.
No, I'm just pondering how important it is that what we say to each other, even in just chat, is about hope. And the words we offer are words filled with trust in this present moment. Jesus is here with us, and we cannot know where we're going. And somebody else said something much more wise than I have to say about, oh God, I cannot know where I'm going. But as we just talk with each other, and I was thinking last Tuesday, I was outside Parliament with X number of thousand people. And it was a glimpse into the future of this country. It was so loving and so kind. And this family kept saying to me, sit in our chair, have some of our food, eat with us. I didn't know who they were, but it was very beautiful. And for some people, reading about that would be scary. So I want to tell them I felt so safe and it was okay.
And
But it's
certainly,
like every conversation. And my
yeah.
friend who's trying to get everybody to pray for President Trump at 8:30 every morning to pray for him. That's a sign of hope.
Give us a definition, Jenny, based on your experience at the Hikoi and the example of prayer for Trump you've just mentioned. What is hope? Like, can you give us a definition? Catherine, I'm going to ask you in a minute, and Quishly, you can offer another one if you want to, because hope is the reason for the season. Like, hope is the color that we wear, the violet color of the vestments, is about hope, which is why it's worn also in Lent and also often at funerals. Hope. What is hope?
When you say lavender, violet, I'm thinking some of the very strong feminists have always said that lavender's not good enough. It's got to be purple, got to be strong enough. It's nothing to do with everything that we're talking about today. But I'm thinking for me, hope is the absolute knowledge that God is at work in every moment. The absolute trust that I can see God somehow, surrounded by the wise people with me who help me to see when I can't see. God is always there.
I think hope requires people to take responsibility for their wants, for their desires, and to take action to work towards that.
Hope for me, look, I can't add any more to that really, John, other than to reiterate what Jenny said, absolute trust that God's with us. Otherwise, all the things that you're struggling with in life, and be they, the struggles and the joys, just have that absolute trust that God is there.
Now, I think the epistle for Sunday tells us that I can't do that alone. I need Catherine and Kushler and John and a few others around me. Sorry, Catherine, I interrupted.
No, that's all right. It was just the scripture, Matthew 28. I am with you always, even to the end of time. And I think what a stunning promise that is. I am with you always to the end of time.
Oh, wonderful. I love where I often try now in my writing and in homilies to avoid what we might term theological language, because I think many of those words, which are perfectly good words, salvation, redemption, incarnation, all of these words, of course, for us, carry a meaning that's very profound and significant, but they're often turn-off words for people who might hear us. They go into that religious baggage box. But here we've got at the end of the Jeremiah reading, the first reading, the Lord our integrity. Now, integrity is a word that's attractive for everyone. People like the idea of integrity, and it's got slightly different meanings for everyone, I think. If we asked a group of people to define integrity, there'd be a great richness of definitions. But what a beautiful word. So here we've got a word right in the heart of the scripture. On the first Sunday of the church year, that's not a religious jargon word, integrity. And I would say let's use that. And even and I'm going to ask each of you for a take home now, but I'm going to give mine first. Don't, as a preacher, try to define integrity, but put it to the people as a question. Like here, right at the end of the Old Testament, full of anticipation for the incarnation, we're preparing for the celebration of the birth of Christ. The word integrity is the last word. What does it mean? What does it mean for you? What are signs of integrity? Who are people that you know who are living lives of integrity? And what does that look like? What does that mean? So there's my take home. I would invite a picking up of that word, the Lord our integrity. Rather than solve it as a preacher, simply put it out there as a question. Think about this week. What does it look like? Take home from each of you.
Well, I think if for me it's that it's the gospel, the don't become drowsy, stay awake, stand, watch, pray. If everybody lived that gospel message, what a great world we'd live in.
I think it would look like the
Maybe
heat boy, maybe, Jenny.
the
Yes,
hikoi,
yes, yes.
Yeah, I think I want to add to the gospel. It's always good to add to scripture because not everything got written down.
Amen.
Watch, keep awake, keep aware. We watch. Yeah. Look, listen, smell, touch, taste, be noticing, be aware. The five senses, but maybe we have more than five.
Be sensible. Be sensible.
Sensable. Yes. Notice things that give you hope every day. There are things around us every day that bring us hope. And I'll just finish with practice being a loving presence with a C every day and not give a toss about the presence with a T.
Not give it to
Beautiful.
That's great. Catherine, thank you.
That's wonderful.
I love that line, and you've provided me with a very helpful segue, Jenny. And not everything was written down. I think it's very important we realize that. And of course, it's a great way for me to promote Fifth Gospel Living, which is people sharing their experience of God. And someone said, look, they're going to give someone, each person in their family, this is a bit of an extra little gift, because people who are feeling a distance from the church are often feeling very close to God, and they're wrestling in that place. Well, this is from people who are talking not about life in the church, but about their experience of God. So fifth gospel, this
Lots
fifth.
of really good feedback, John, from people who have read it or are reading it, picking it up and flicking through it.
Great, Kushla. And the other thing I want to drop in there is, as a preparation for Christmas, I'm offering a retreat day this Saturday, the 30th, at Lincoln in Selwyn, at St. Patrick's there in Lincoln, from 10 till 3. I'll attach a link below for anyone who is interested. Just turn up, bring your lunch, bring a friend, and let's focus on the heart of the matter. Let's take a moment to be still and silent. Grateful for the time that we've been able to spend here in this conversation, but also linked with people around the world who be listening in, wherever you are, whatever your struggles, whatever your joys in these days, for yourself and for those you love. We are united in prayer. As we pray together, grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, to resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.